This is October the 6th, 1990. It's just 3 days after the reunification of the country of Germany. Well, there's a lot of people out there. They've come from the Eastern sector, which was once the Iron Curtain. And as Winston Churchill once said, there'll be an Iron Curtain all over Europe. This was at the start of World War II, when Germany decided to walk all over Poland in September 1939. And that is exactly what they did. The German people had, for the second time, started a war in this century back in 1914. They started one with France. There was a Kaiser in there, Wilhelm somebody or other, who wanted to fight everybody that he could, and supposed to have his German people rule Europe. Well, he fought with gas, poison gas in those days. And that was when Uncle Sally played his part as soldier. Uncle Sally, a Sylvester Wiginka, went to the service in about 1916 or 17. I have postcards to show the different places he went to, Paris and Belgium. He was quite a dapper young man in his uniform with the leggings up to the knees, and that's the version of the doughboy of World War II. And Uncle Walter also went. We have a picture of him somewhere in the archives here. Now, Germany is getting together. Well, right now the Easterners are coming into the West. Germany of West is very fluent, successful, because naturally we gave them money after World War II, when they wanted to have the only Aryan race. They wanted to conquer everyone they could and simply have their women have children of the Aryan race, which would be the blondes and the blue-eyed folks. Well, we had to put a stop to that, of course, because that's when he started the Holocaust and eliminated millions and millions of Jews. Babies, children, Polish, Hungarian, they didn't care who they were. They just eliminated them in gas chambers. Auschwitz camp was one of them, and so on and so forth. Well, Uncle Sally did come home, and thank God Uncle Walter did too. And that German dynasty was brought down, and then they had a celebration called the Armistice. Now, after World War II, it was just the end of World War II, but this day was called Armistice because it was a signing of papers and so on after World War I. And there was an old movie made, All Quiet on the Western Front, which everybody lavished and went to see, and made a star of Lou Ayres and a couple of other people there. Well, when the boys came home, Grandpa Ziggy went to war. He was also in that skirmish for almost a year, but he was a sailor. And he went on a ship somewhere outside of Boston and went to Cuba. Stayed there a while during the war, and for some reason then he wasn't sent to the European theater, but I think it was Guantanamo. And he survived that skirmish also, came home. And now my mother, Sophie, she married Dad in on April 20th, 1921, and then a year later was when Loretta and I were born. And at that time, they were living at Grandma's house at 1125 West Napier Street. To get to the story of my dad's family, his dad, which was my grandfather, also Frank Bartizek, he had a grocery store on the corner of Monroe and Chapin Street. Well, it was in a huge brick building that went high up into two stories, with a backyard which had these wooden steps that went up into the house proper. The front part, there was a cleaning service in the front first store, and then the middle store was the grocery store. And then to the right of us was the Cooperman Bakery, Of course, we were in there a lot. And then upstairs, Grandma had these tall, tall ceilings, about 9 feet tall. I remember as a child going up those back stairs and going up into this long, long hallway, rather dark. And on the right was a huge dining room where the family ate. To the left was a small kitchen. And as you went out of the dining room was a music room. It was a upright piano standing there. And I'm sure the girls must have played that at some time or other. Irene, who was my dad's oldest sister. Then Mary, she was the youngest sister. Then there was also his brother Stanley. Stanley had been an insurance salesman in his time. And then there was Uncle Joe. Well, Joe, and they called him Joey. He was the smartest of the group, and he wanted to be educated. So my grandma, who had become a widow then at 42, my grandfather on Dad's side died at that tender age of a heart attack. He worked awfully hard in his lifetime. He'd had that butcher shop, and he used to get his meat over in New Carlisle, which is about 8 miles from Chapin Street proper. He used to bring the meat back on this huge wagon, and it was packed down with ice, all fresh meat, and he would bring it to whatever cooler they had in those days, which would have been at the early part of the century. I'm not sure what the cooling systems were. I imagine it was ice, just like we had in our homes whenever we wanted to have a cooling system in our refrigerator. It was a wooden refrigerator, or ice box, actually. And we would put the sign out in the window, 100 pounds, and we could turn it upside down, put 75 or 50, and then the ice man would stop by. And that's how some people made their living, and there was the milkman. He would come down the street with his horse-drawn wagon and stop and leave us milk. Mom would leave empty bottles and a note stuck in there how many bottles she'd want, and that's how we got our daily milk. We had to otherwise go to the store and get what we needed and up with our daily needs. And Uncle Joe then, when my grandmother was a widow, she apparently had took in some relatives or someone to live with her to make a little more money. She sent Uncle Joe to pharmacy school, and at that time you only needed about 2 years, and so he came out as a successful pharmacist, and he worked for a lady named Myers on Lincoln Way West. In corner of William Street, there was a little drugstore, so he worked in there. And eventually then, when he was able to have enough money, he got his own drugstore at the corner of Lawndale and Lincoln Way. Well, that was the southeast side of the street. It was a big brick building, and when he did that, next to him, my dad had a grocery store, and we all lived upstairs. We were just kids who were going to start school at age 5, go to kindergarten. And then my Uncle Joe had his family upstairs, Felicia and his little boy, Joey. And Felicia was a very pretty girl. She looked just like my grandmother. And we lived above our grocery store, but then next to us, Aunt Bee, who was their sister as well. Balbina was her name, Balbina Perkins. She had married Harry D. Perkins, a plumber. And they had their own business on Mishawaka Avenue, but she opened a little dry goods store. So you see, the whole block was brothers and a sister, and it was really nice. We had it very convenient up there. We went to school, it was Measles School, about 4 blocks down north, and we weren't in very long until we got the measles. Then I had to come home. But Uncle John was born up there on Lincoln Way West in Lawndale. And he's an awful cute little kid. We set him in the windowsill one day and took his picture. And I still have that somewhere. And Uncle Joe, his wife, his little boy, he unfortunately didn't live to be a grown-up young man because he had backed up into a hot tub of boiling water when Aunt Gertie was fixing water for her laundry. And the little boy, he died of burns. So to go on from there, then Aunt Gertie, I don't know what happened between her and Uncle Joe, but she also had a, they got divorced later, but she had her beauty shop right behind Uncle Joe's drugstore. So everybody was set up there in business, and I guess they thought it would last forever. Now Aunt Mary, she was the youngest of all, so she opened her own grocery store right across or opposite of where my grandma's building was. She was on the southwest corner there, and she and the fella she married, Uncle Max. Aunt Mary was a receptionist in a lawyer's office, and Uncle Max came along, and he was a handsome young fella with a baritone voice and really very popular. And from what I understand, his name in Polish was Rybka, which is fish, and so he changed his name to Fisher. So from then on, and I've always known him as Uncle Max Fisher, and he and Aunt Mary had one boy. His name was Jimmy. Now, Uncle Max was the one who sang at our wedding when Wally and I were married, October the 11th, 1952. He was up in the choir loft and sang some beautiful songs. And in the meantime, Harry D. Perkins, Aunt B's husband, had died, so she went back to the plumbing store on Lincoln Way, or rather Mishawaka Avenue, and she had a combination living quarters in the back. We used to visit her a lot when we were kids. She was so kind. All my aunts were kind and always wanted to serve something when we came over and be very hospitable. And so that's what we remember most about our aunts. They're always as unselfish and kind as they can be. Aunt B used to have this hill behind her house, which went up to a trestle. And that's what we enjoyed going. When we went to visit her, we knew we'd be on that hill. We'd roll down, and when it come down, there was these huge long windows into her living room, and the folks would be sitting there and talking, and us kids would roll down that hill. And I always remember some of the lovely silver she used to have, and some of the tea service that we enjoyed getting something to drink out of. And her son John Perkins, he lived there, of course, and grew up to go to Valparaiso U. And John got a degree. He eventually went out of the country to Puerto Rico, where he got a job as the secretary in the embassy. And he's traveled a lot since. He's lived in Spain and Europe, and has done a lot of skiing and Switzerland, and he's lived in Mexico, and he married a lovely lady named Angie. Angie and he had adopted a young girl when they lived in Puerto Rico. Her name was Paula. And then shortly after, they had their own child. His name was Ted. As far as I remember now, Ted is in Los Angeles trying to get into pictures or television or something that has to do with acting. I want to go back to Aunt Irene. Aunt Irene was also Dad's sister. Her husband was a tailor. He had come from Europe, and he is was known as a Cossack. Well, that's a soldier who at that time, he had an accent more so than anybody, and I believe he was German, and when they had some revolution over there, they came to get him. They bodily put him on a train and took him through Canada, up there, up and back into Europe, and made him fight. Those Germans was always fighting somebody. And then he had learned the fine art of tailoring. And when he came to South Bend, Aunt Irene, now she had been working at Wyman's, one of the better department stores. She's always dressed very classy. She married Uncle Uncle Price, and they had a son then named Leonard, and Leonard was our age, and he was always nice to us, and they had two children, that were spastic. Or, I'm sorry, one child, Lucille. And she had a terrible time. She could understand what she was saying and everything, but she would drool, and she couldn't walk very fast and couldn't do things. And everybody loved her because she was a sweetheart. She needed hugging more than anybody in the world, I believe. And then Edwin, who was just a little bit younger than Lucille, he was a nice kid. We liked Edwin, and we got along fine. He was the youngest. And then in between there was Anne, and she's still living on La Porte in LaSalle Avenue. Anne, her mother called her Felice, and Aunt Irene was kind, and she had us for dinner a lot up there on the corner. In the summertime, we used to go and help her with her pear canning. And that was, we thought, quite a bit of work, but heck, when the afternoon was over, she'd always serve us a nice dinner, and we'd go home for satisfied that we wouldn't have to do it again till next year. And then there was one year that diphtheria was so rampant, and so many children had gotten sick. Well, as it happened, Lucille, her daughter, she got this diphtheria, and she died. And it was just so heartbreaking that nobody could reconcile Aunt Irene and Uncle Frank. Then 2 weeks later, as it happened, Edwin got diphtheria and died, and that was just such a terrible, terrible, sad time. I can remember so many times that Uncle Frank would take us for a drive in his Buick. Well, this was when cars were just coming out, and evidently he'd made pretty good living at tailoring. He was downtown there on Michigan Street. Singer Kelly's now, he has a little alley in there, and he operated out of there. And he had this beautiful Buick, which had isinglass around it. So, you know, it must go back to the 30s or so. And he would pack us all in on a Sunday afternoon, and wouldn't we go out in the country and enjoy ourselves. It was really a great time. I'm trying to think here and there and trying to piece together some of the stories of the past. When my mother and dad were courting, why, she was taking lessons in giving Marcelles. Well, that was one of the styles in the days of the late 20s, or the early 20s, rather. She was learning from a lady named Madame Schwartz, who had a beauty shop downtown and had other students. Now, my dad used to come around all the time to pick her up, take her home, or just to see her. And Madame Schwartz always used to be so mad and just chased him away because she's so afraid she's going to lose her students. And finally, though, my mother graduated from that group, and she began to do hair as a beauty operator at St. Mary's College. And she'd take a train, not a train, but I guess Coney and Urban. It would take you out there and for about a nickel and let you off right there by the campus, and then she'd walk up to one of the buildings and do the girls' hair. And she used to say some of them was so long, and sometimes they wouldn't even wash their hair, and it would be so dirty. And she'd stand there with that curling iron doing that dirty hair. At the time, she just almost got sick to her stomach. But that was popular in those times to have real long, long hair. And always curling iron. So she did that, and I guess shortly after that, though, Dad proposed. And as my grandma said at the time, she wasn't crazy about him. It's always kind of hard for you to lose your daughter. You think Prince Charming really has to be quite a prince and have everything in the world. But then she knew that he had a business mind, and apparently he was in business at the time. And she says, oh, she says in Polish, Benja miałaś dobrze. That means you're going to have it good. Which is something I remember all my life, because to say that you're going to have it good, but nobody really ever knows. And my mother, she had her ups and downs, because, you know, sometimes Dad would be out of work, and then there was a depression, and hard to get a job. And she She did the best she could, though. She was a good cook. And there were so many good recipes I remember from her. She started a shrimp salad concoction, which you take the shrimp out of this can and then you mix it with pineapple and mayonnaise and some celery. And, oh, that was so good. And she'd give us that as a special treat. And then she still made dumplings like Grandma did. And we had our sweet and sour cabbage. And that was a dish we really enjoyed. I remember as young girls, every Sunday we knew what vegetable to expect with that meat, potatoes, and gravy. It was always sweet and sour cabbage. And the way Mom did it, she had a kind of a hurry-up recipe that worked just fine. And she always made us a birthday cake when it was our birthday, and there just wasn't anything Mom wouldn't do for us. And Dad, he was such a, what you might call a glad hander. He was always so glad to see people, and he'd shake hands, and he was the business type, the kind of a... Oh, no, what's wrong? Well, to go on with the story, I didn't quite get to tell about that Aunt Gertie was Uncle Joe's wife, and I think her name was Tchaikovsky, and her mother and dad had lived right across the street from the building on Lawndale, and she had a sister named Genevieve, and here's where another sad story came out of the family crypt here, why Aunt Genevieve had, it seemed, was dating some fella, and I believe that he was married at the time, and his wife didn't like that, of course, so she hired some thugs from Chicago, and this is what they told us, that they had come, and later on, her body was found in the woods by a big St. Bernard. That was so sad, because I never wanted to hear anything like that, but we were about 12 years old when that happened. Poor Genevieve, she was the best-looking woman. She was just gorgeous. And, of course, Gertie, her sister, was also beautiful. And there were things that went on in the family that we could never quite latch on to or understand. And in one moment we'd be told that was happening, and then before you knew it, it was an old story. Now, you take Aunt Bernice, who was Dad's cousin. She lived in Elgin. Well, her mother was supposed to have walked right into Lake Michigan and ended her life that way. And that was also sad. And Bernice, I guess she missed her mother, so she wanted to be near her cousins and her aunts here in South Bend. So that's why she's always tearing to come to South Bend. And we also had other friends in Chicago, the Reggie Bensons. Well, they were friends of my mother's, and also the Virgil Lipinskis. Well, they had a big home right on the Lake Michigan shore, about a block away, and we could always go there in the summertime, and they had this big, great house, which I think they were renting, but they had these big stairs going up to the front porch, and they had these 9-foot ceilings, and that family had a girl named Virginia who was close to our age, and so we'd go see Virginia whenever we had the train fare on the South Shore. And they had an older sister. Her name was Marcella. Well, she was a little too old for us, but sometime we talked to her and see what she was doing. She got married before you know it. But then after Virginia Lipinski, there was a boy named Buddy, and Buddy was just crazy about it. Loretta, my sister Loretta. Buddy was so crazy about her that he got on a bicycle one day, and he drove that bicycle all the way from the south side of Chicago to our home here in South Bend. I'm not sure if we lived on Laurel Street or Napier or LaSalle, but that boy, he was just so mad about her. He wanted to see her come what may. I don't know how long it took him, probably the whole day, if not more. And he drove that bicycle, had balloon tires on it, and he got here to South Bend so he could see Loretta.
And I think that's just a great thing. It's just one of the adventures and incidents in our lives which made it real interesting. And now Virginia's and Marcella's father and mother, they were very kind people. And the father's name was Virgil, and he was an insurance man. And I guess he made pretty good money. And they had this home that was so comfortable. And whenever we went there, wife Virginia happened to be babysitting a block away or so in this big, gorgeous apartment house for some very wealthy people. Why, we'd stay with her. And then we'd stay overnight, and next day, of course, we'd head for the beach. Oh, that beautiful white sand around Lake Michigan. We never had a...